The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
We're coming to you this morning live from Dublin Zoo, one of the top attractions for tourists coming to Dublin. It's part of our summer tour where we are going all around the country with thanks to ESB's 1,600 EV chargers across Ireland, giving you the freedom to go further. Now, summer is well and truly here, and thankfully the weather here is lovely. Businesses are preparing for the influx of visitors far and wide. But despite the CSO figures showing a drop in tourism earlier in the year, industry experts are expecting a boom of North American visitors this summer. I'm joined by Onamara Walsh, Chief Executive of the Irish Tourism Industry Confederation, and Lorraine Sweeney, a hotelier and businesswoman. Good morning and welcome to you both. We'll go to you, Owen, first of all, to try and explain the CSO figures, which seem so disappointing in the early part of the year. And it prompted a discussion between the industry and the CSO as to who's right and who's not.
Yeah, there's a misalignment. There's certainly a misalignment between industry data. And remember, we record bums on seats and heads on pillows. And, you know, the millions of visitors that come to the country.
They say their data is robust.
Yeah.
They talk to people coming in and when they leave. And it's a large sample.
Yeah, it's a sample size of about 3,000 international visitors as they leave the country, as they exit the country every month. And they extrapolate those numbers out into a macro figure.
Yeah.
It doesn't quite align. It's aligning better as each month goes on. But certainly in the first quarter of the year, the CSO were recording double-digit decreases in overseas tourism. We weren't feeling that on the ground. The hotels, the attractions, the airlines, the airports, we were thinking it was flat, maybe marginally down. So there's a misalignment there, and we're in constant discussion with the CSO. There is a feeling that the CSO Q1 2024 figures may have been overinflated. So when we compare to that, it looks like there's a sharp decrease.
So the doing well in 24, do you think that they weren't doing well and they thought they were doing well?
A year ago, if we'd been having this conversation, the CSO would have been recording really buoyant overseas tourism figures that the industry weren't feeling.
Okay.
So now 12 months on, the comparison is out of sync. But what really matters is how businesses are performing. And if you look at, you know, balance sheets or P&Ls and stuff, visitor numbers are flat to marginally down for year to date. Saying that, we're optimistic of a positive summer. There's a lot of North American business on the books and great transatlantic air.
I mean, if I was an American, I might be a bit apprehensive about traveling given the tariff situation, the lack of neighborliness with Canada and with Mexico. I might be worried about being out of town.
Yeah, I mean, there is an issue in Irish tourism at the moment that our business is increasingly concentrated in the American market, in the North American market, the US in particular. So we do need to diversify those markets, and industry and agencies are making strides in that regard. The good news is that there's a lot of North American business on the books already. Pre-bookings are positive. There's a lot of US transatlantic air access with Aer Lingus. And Ireland is always a very positive, very welcoming, very hospitable place to the Americans. The Americans have a very strong attitude towards Ireland, and hopefully we'll be able to realise that.
Now, Lorraine, you're a practitioner. What are you feeling?
I feel if I was an American, I'd definitely be travelling anyway,
just to get out of town.
We've had a good first half of the year, actually, but then we'd be doing home holiday business as well as international travel. January to June this year was up 20% for us. Home holidays very strong. The room rate is a bit softer than last year, so we're 8% down on the room rate, but that's an overall gain of 12% up on last year. So we're happy at how we're seeing it in our three humble hotels in North Wicklow.
Now, the reason Americans might come to Europe generally, the dollar was strong. Now, Trump's activities have affected that a bit, but the dollar value for money for the American was good.
Yes.
And particularly when you go to America these days and you buy a breakfast or a coffee or whatever it is, we are shocked by the prices that they're charging in America. So the Americans still perceive very good value here. You know, are we in danger, though, of, you know, saying we can screw the American for $55 for a steak because they won't blink?
Well,
and that means the local looks at €55 for a steak and says, not having it.
Well, Pat, a steak is going to cost you close to $55 because steak is so expensive here in Ireland and a lot of restaurants are not serving it anymore. I agree Ireland is an expensive location to visit. It's not a cheap location, but then it's cheaper than Norway, Sweden or Denmark, where a lot of people are going to now because of climate. People are not everybody wants to go to the hot sun of 35 degrees in the middle of the summer. So they're seeking other locations. Ours is one of them. It's a very attractive country to come to. And people are coming in their droves. Mind you, the figures are still down on 2019. We had 9 million tourists visit in 2019 and we're still only at 6. So there's a lot of climbing to do to get back up to where we were.
And the missing millions, who were they? Typically, what nationalities, who didn't come?
Well, I would say UK. Probably there's a big reduction in UK travellers.
And is that pure Brexit?
I would say so, yeah. And also their economy is not as strong as it used to be.
All right. So in terms of your costs, how inflated are your costs over the last few years?
Hugely inflated, Pat. It's the challenge of our time. In the past, it was about being creative and about being, forward thinking. Now it's the challenge is to curtail your costs. The costs go right across the board. It's not only staffing costs, it's utility costs. Food costs have gone exponentially high in the last 6 months.
And do we understand why?
We're told
that the farmers are going to have a bumper year this year in terms of their output, and their prices are improving too. So that translates into higher costs for you.
But we feel it as well in our weekly shop in the supermarket. Things are gone up and we have to pass that on to our customer. There's also the age-old VAT issue that restaurants are paying such a high rate on VAT that the, for a tourist to come to Ireland, they want to eat in a restaurant rather than in a hotel. The cost of dining out in Ireland with the high level of VAT, and I heard in the past it's due to come down. I'm not sure if that has been confirmed. But, restaurants will continue to have very high costs until the VAT rate comes down. Otherwise, our restaurants will close and we won't have the satisfactory offering for our guests coming to Ireland.
Mm. What are you hearing, Owen, about the VAT rate?
Well, the good news is there was the National Economic Dialogue yesterday in Dublin Castle that quite a few of us were at. The reduced rate of VAT for hospitality for food services was in the programme for government. And yesterday it was confirmed by the Taoiseach that it will be reduced in the budget. So that should help.
Now, that mightn't kick in, though, until 2026.
It won't kick in until the 1st of January, but at least there's a roadmap. And the good news is at least that commitment in the programme for government will be implemented. Because Lorraine is right, the cost of business, if I talk to, Lorraine's a hotelier, but if I talk to a visitor attraction, if I talk to a tour operator, if I talk to an adventure centre, the cost of business is the recurring theme in terms of putting pressure on margins. Remember, tourism is the largest indigenous industry, the biggest regional employer, the vast majority are SMEs, very low margins, so costs of business are a huge headache. So the VAT reduction on an element of those costs is certainly welcome.
Can you talk to me, Lorraine, about staff and the challenges of getting appropriate staff?
Yeah, it still remains very difficult. There are not trained chefs out there. There are not enough managers out there to recruit. We can't get work permits for people to come in. I think I've spoken to you about this before, yeah. Pat. And
there is that question of Ireland of the welcomes. And I'm someone who's enthusiastic about immigrants come in to help us in the health services, in food services, and mm-hmm. so on. But sometimes you need that Irish person behind the counter, don't you?
Well, you definitely do. But the bottom line is, Pat, that a lot of people, it might be behind the counter, you might have some Irish staff, but they don't want to be behind the scenes washing the pots and doing the night shift and doing the Sunday morning shift after being out on a Saturday night. So they're taking lifestyle choices. And clearly there are not enough people to work in the hospitality sector in Ireland. And really what should happen in the long term is there should be work permits available for people to come and work and make a living and send money back home. And that's not available to us as an industry. It's extremely difficult to recruit people.
So on that question of trying to recruit people and also the importance that the Cead Míle Fáilte is a Cead Míle Fáilte, it's an Irish welcome.
Absolutely, yeah. And, people come to Ireland because of the scenery, because of the culture and because of the friendliness of the people, the Cead Míle Fáilte. But we are at full employment. Let's not fool ourselves. So additional workers in the tourism and hospitality industry will probably be immigrants. So then it comes down to our businesses training them appropriately. The very good Fáilte Ireland training programs need to be rolled out because, the danger, if you looking at worldwide tourism, there's a homogenization to a certain extent of the tourism offering. And we have to carefully, carefully guard what's unique to Ireland. And as I say, scenery, culture and heritage and the friendliness of the people, they're the key attributes we have.
Now, text coming in. Restaurants didn't pass on the reduced rate to customers like businesses in the UK did. They will reduce the VAT, but the restaurants will still charge the same prices. What do you say, Lorraine?
I don't accept that at all. I think restaurants...
You don't think that's what you're going to do. If you're squeezed to try and make ends meet, that you'll keep the savings you make on the VAT in order to...
Not necessarily, Pat, no.
Do you think it'd drop prices?
Yes, I do think, certainly I think prices will drop without any doubt if the VAT rate reduces.
I think it's down to each individual business. I think if you're a business that's really under pressure, under financial pressure, I think there's an understandable justification for giving yourself that little extra cushion. But I think if you're a successful business, if you have a volume of turnover, I think the VAT will be passed on. Yeah. It's down to each individual business.
Our listeners may be cynical. Tom says, cutting VAT for restaurants won't cut prices for the customer. They will pocket the cut. That's from Tom. Another one is, whoa, they make it sound like they're the only ones paying VAT. Welcome to the real world. That's from Martin.
Yeah, well, obviously we're all paying VAT, Pat, but there are extra challenges in our industry, which has led to so many restaurant closures. And if the VAT is reduced, it may actually stop some restaurants closing. And if an American comes to Ireland, they don't want to eat in McDonald's. They want to eat in a restaurant that has fish and seafood and, you know, home steaks and whatever else it is. And if they're not getting it, if the restaurants close. Pat, can I just mention the cap on Dublin Airport?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a major challenge for our industry as well, because
it's effectively on pause, though, isn't it?
The cap is there since 2007, but the country has changed dramatically since 2007. And if they don't look back on that planning legislation or whatever it was, rule at the time, the country is handcuffed and it's going to affect Irish people more so than it's going to affect foreign tourists coming in.
In terms of the Dublin Airport passenger cap, there is a legal challenge, you're correct, at the moment, taken by the airline. So the cap is on pause, if you like, for the summer months, but it kicks back in the winter. There's a very strict, it's planning a law, very strict cap of 32 million, which the airport is right at. And Lorraine is correct, we're an island economy. It's self-evident, there's no roads, bridges, tunnels off the island. To get here, we need lots and lots of air access. If we want to see the tourism sector sustainably grow, we will need to have that Dublin Airport passenger cap lifted.
But everybody knows it's crazy, because it was brought about because of roads, not because of what was happening in the air.
Everybody knows that, but the planning regulations haven't changed. So it needs to be lifted. It needs to be lifted urgently, because this is more than just tourism. If you look at trades, if you look at exports, you know, a small open economy, we need air access urgently.
I was in Clifton at the weekend, says this texter, with my family, full of Germans and Americans, but went for a bit of lunch in a pub, €20 each for fish and chips. The fish was tiny and just a handful of chips. I felt they were trying to squeeze as much as possible out of the tourists.
I was in Clifton as well at the weekend, and I was out dining as well, and I could see myself that the restaurants in Clifton are very challenged because they have a very short season. It lasts about 8 weeks. It starts now and it'll continue until about the third week in
August. But is that we'll screw you while we have you, but and then we say goodbye?
Sorry, Pat, in O'Connell Street in Dublin, it's nearly that for in my Beshaw fish and chip shop for a decent portion of fish and chips. That's what it costs in Ireland.
Isn't that the key? A decent portion. That's the complaint for
us. Yeah. Pat, I think anecdotes serve a purpose to a certain extent, but you know, surveys and proper professional surveys are much more valuable. Folch Ireland do a lot of really good surveys with tourists while they're in the country and before they leave the country, and they ask about things like value, quality of the experience, all that sort of stuff, and thankfully we still score very highly.
Okay, final question to you both. Tourist tax, what do you think?
Definitely not.
No, I'm not in favour of it. I think the industry is taxed enough. Folch Ireland, again, I've done some very good research on that. For every euro a tourist spends, 29 cents goes straight back into the exchequer in tourism-related taxes. That's enough.
All right. Well, look, thank you both. Lorraine Sweeney, hotelier and businesswoman. Ona Mara Walsh, chief executive of the Irish Tourism Industry Confederation. And if you're thinking of heading west for fish and chips, well, you might need some cash.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
On News Talk.